Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. It's been 4 years since Dana Marie Storrs won Faith FM 94.3's Shining Star Vocal Competition and released her first CD. Dana Marie recently released What You See, her second CD, and is on the phone with us from her Kitchener area home to talk about the release and her music ministry. But first, let's listen to Guardian, one of the first singles released for radio play from Dana Marie's new CD, What You See. Now to our interview with Dana Marie Storrs. Good evening, Dana Marie.
Good evening. How are you?
Now, let's go right back to the beginning. It's been a few years since we talked. So when did you get started with music?
Oh, when did I get started? Well, probably when I was about 2 or 3 years old. I was always singing at home and making little videos and singing in church. And I just grew up involved in music and the arts, but I didn't take it too seriously until I went to Hillsong College in 2008 and 2009. I went there for the Worship and Creative Arts program. And then when I came home from that, I won a competition for 94.3 Faith FM called Their Shining Star. And so I won that, and that really opened a lot of doors for me. I was able to get into the studio and start recording. I ended up doing a full album. And then I was, getting requests to sing at different events and church functions. And so God really just started to open doors after that, after that competition. And so that's kind of when I officially started, joining the music business and really started going for it.
Well, let's sort of take a few of those things at a time here. When you were growing up in that, who did you have it? And as you were starting to sort of sing and that, who were some of the artists that you listened to and people that kind of had an influence on you?
Well, people that had an influence on me was definitely my family. I have a very musical family, both sides. My mom, she's very creative, so she'd always be making up little songs for different things. So I would lay in bed at night and just be making up songs and singing. And I know I would annoy my brothers and sisters. They'd be pounding on the door, like, be quiet, we're trying to sleep. But my mind was always going, and my dad's side of the family was really, really musical as well. They're involved in a drum corps, and they all play different instruments. And so it just felt very easy growing up to be involved in music and in church and in school. I was involved in it, like a girls group called Gems at my church, and so they had two musical leaders Colleen and Grace. I think they're still involved with GEMS. So they were two women that, you know, we used to love their songs and sing their songs. And, yeah, me and my friends, we'd always be doing little concerts and making singing groups and singing in the living room window and changing our outfits. And we had the whole thing going. So it was great fun.
Well, and with doing all of that, what sort of led to the whole to going to Hillsong? You mentioned going to that, and what led you into wanting to get involved with that?
You know, it's kind of a long story, definitely a God story. I didn't really know that much about Hillsong before I went there. I graduated from high school. I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do. I had applied to different universities for different things. I got accepted into all of them, but I just didn't really feel a lot of peace about it. And so I decided I'm just going to work for a year after high school and just, you know, really seek God and see where he wants me to go. And I don't want to waste time and money doing something that I'm going to change my mind. And so the idea was just to work for a year. And then to make a long story short, I ran into somebody that went to Hillsong, which I never thought would happen because, I mean, the school's in Australia. And so I didn't really know how I would actually talk to somebody that went to Hillsong to get a firsthand experience. But I was in a room, and all of a sudden this person walked into the room, and turns out he went to Hillsong, and basically he just told me at the end of our conversation, Dana, you got to go. It's going to change your life. And so I was driving home and just praying about it, and it was the first thing that I really felt peace about. And I was 18 years old at the time, and I thought, yeah, my parents are going to love this. I'm going to come home and say, I've decided I need to go to school in Australia. But to be honest, I came home and kind of told them the idea, and they were really excited about it. And they thought, you know what, why don't we pursue this a little bit more? This was mid-December, and because seasons are opposites there, school starts end of January. And so I was able to kind of get all my paperwork in order and all the different things you need, and I sent off my application. I heard back from them beginning of January and said I was accepted. And so I had about 2 weeks to kind of get it all together. But it was at that point that I just really saw the hand of God in my life, and everything just fell into place after that. But between, you know, flights and student visas and someone taking over my job here back in Canada, accommodation over there, like everything just fell into place. I basically just sat back and watched it all happen. So the first time I really stopped to think about, you know, the fact that I was moving across the world, I was sitting on a plane, you know, on my way there. But God is good, and he knows exactly what we need, because I think if I had a whole year to prep for it and to plan and to save up, I probably would have changed my mind because I just would have gotten too worked up about it. But in this way, I really had no time to stop and think. It was just go time. And so, yeah, all of a sudden I found myself on a plane on the way to Australia, and I didn't really know what I was getting myself into, but like I said, I just really felt peace about it all, and so I just trusted God, and I knew I was in for a big couple years. I didn't know how long I was going to be there, but I definitely grew a lot during that time because, like I said, I just had to trust and just obey God and just really get to know his voice and his calling and what that looks like in my life.
Well, looking at that, and then you came back, and you know, shortly thereafter, you went into the Shining Star vocal competition. You won. What kind of impact did that have on you? And after winning, you mentioned it opening doors and doing the recording, but in terms of your musical ministry, musical career, what kind of impact did that have on you?
That was a huge impact because coming home, I didn't really see myself in the music business, to be honest. I figured I would go back to school somewhere here. I knew I wanted to be in full-time ministry, but I saw that in more of a pastoral way as opposed to in the music business. I think part of that was my own insecurities being down at Hillsong, and there's so many talented musicians. I was a little bit daunted, and I was like, okay, you know, I came down here for music, but probably this isn't where I'm going to be forever. You know, I want to be maybe a youth pastor or, you know, a pastor on staff at a church somewhere, you know, meeting with people. I loved working with people and that kind of thing. I actually didn't see myself in the music role or in the music business. So it was my mom that she said, well, why don't you, you know, audition for Shining Star? And she kind of went ahead and entered me because I was still in Australia at the time. And I was like, you know what? sure, I'm home. I've got nothing really going right now. Let's just do this. And so when I won and I started, you know, getting requests to come to different women's meetings and even being the speaker at a women's conference and making all these connections in the music world, again, it was just, for me, it was just God just opening the doors, and it was just another opportunity where I just had to trust him and just follow his leading and just kind of go with it, because I really didn't know anything about the music business. And these connections that I was making, I wouldn't have been able to make those on my own if I hadn't, you know, won this competition and be going to these different events, you know, to sing a couple songs as, you know, the 2010 winner of Shining Star. And, but I was still able to do, you know, definitely still ministry as I was connecting with people and, you know, praying with people afterwards, and, you know, as they tell me, this song really touched me. And I would even sometimes get phone calls at work. I had one instance where a lady kind of tracked me down because they mentioned where I worked, and she just wanted to say she was driving and she heard the one song I wrote, and she had to pull over because she was crying because it just spoke to her, and thank you so much for writing that song. And so those are things I never really would have expected, you know, just entering this competition, that I was able to be part of the music business, but it was definitely still, you know, ministry in a huge way.
Well, and I want to talk about how that next step has been your second CD, but we need to take a quick break. And when we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Dana Marie and talk about her new CD, What You See. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Shepherd from Dana Marie's newest CD, What You See. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with her. What made you decide, you won the Shining Star, this is about 4 years ago now, I think, and you put out your first CD. What made you decide that it was time to do another CD?
Well, in the practical sense, I mean, recording is very expensive, and I had my parents helping me out on my first album. I mean, part of the prize was to do two songs in the studio, but because I knew that this was what was in my hands at the time, I'm just going to go for it. I told myself, if I can you know, make this make sense and kind of make the money back in a year. That was kind of my goal. You know, if I can make this money back in a year, then I'm going to continue with this. And sure enough, I had enough bookings coming in that I was able to pay off all the recording time and studio time and, you know, getting the CDs printed and all the expenses that come with it, website, and you name it. If I can make that all back in a year, then I'm going to keep going for it. And God is good, and I was able to make that back in a year. So I just decided I was going to keep running with it. I really didn't have a plan B. I kept trying to, I mean, at this point, I have to start doing my own bookings. So now I'm putting in the hours, writing emails and making phone calls to different, you know, pastors and organizations, trying to connect with them and maybe sing or lead worship at their events. And so it was probably about 2 years of that, and I thought, you know what, I need to get back into the studio and release something new, because the reality of the Christian music world is, yeah, you need to kind of continue to bring new stuff out, or you're quickly forgotten, I guess you can say. And so I went back in the studio about 2 years ago, just with three songs, Shepherd being one of them, a song called Love You More, and Emmanuel. And I just, you know, I had a little bit of money saved up, so I went in the studio, I recorded these songs, and I slowly started releasing them one at a time on the radio, just to kind of, you know, stay fresh and keep some new music out there. So this second album, you know, I'm very proud of it, because I worked really, really hard just to be able to get into the studio and all the writing and all the hours that go into it. So it was a good 2 years. I mean, I just released the album now, but I've been working on it for a good 2 years. So again, I'm just a huge believer of whatever is in my hands, I'm going to go with it. And if the Lord is giving me peace about it, then I'm going to take that as a good sign, just to keep walking in this direction until I see huge red flags or doors are closing in my face everywhere I go. I'm just going to keep walking in this direction and just believe that, you know, this is what God has. Definitely a lot of hard work, you know, in and out of the studio and writing the songs and trying to stay inspired. And, you know, the music industry is definitely a roller coaster, because you have months and months where you feel like you can't write anything, and it does feel like, you know, doors are being closed in your face, you know, this direction and that direction. But then you have a few months where things are going really well and you feel like you can just, you know, it's very easy. You're getting phone calls out of nowhere and an email out of nowhere asking you to come and share at this event. So I guess, yeah, to answer your question, this album, it wasn't a huge decision to do another album, but I just kept moving in this direction and just kept getting into the studio until I had, you know, the nine songs, and I was able to release another album.
Well, looking at that, and you're talking about, you know, part of the process was writing over the last couple of years, and that when you write and you know, sort of take us through your creative process, are you a lyrics first type of writer or music? How does all of this work out for you in terms of your own songwriting process?
Yeah. For me, I kind of just need to do everything all at once in order, like, to start. I just need something on a piece of paper, because if it's just a blank slate and I'm just trying to write a melody first with some chords and think of the lyrics afterwards, that doesn't work for me. Everyone kind of has their own way of writing. I've taken different songwriting courses, and even being at Hillsong, you know, that was part of it. And, you know, when I try to do one thing first and then the other, it just doesn't seem to work out for me in the end. So I sit down at my piano or with my guitar, and I just start playing chords and just start singing something. Sometimes it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. But I just need to get something down on my paper, some lyrics, some sort of verse chorus with some chords on top. It would probably be a hilarious song if someone else came and looked at it. Like, what are you even saying there? Or these chords don't sound good at all. And from there, you slowly, you know, craft the song. Then you think about, okay, what do I actually want the song to be about? Sometimes I write a song, and the finished product absolutely has nothing to do with the original song that I wrote. But like I said, I just need to start with something. And then I'll, you know, usually start with the chorus and just start forming those words and what do I actually want to say, and look up words that rhyme, or maybe you don't want them to rhyme. Is this going to be a fast song or a slow song? I've often I think my go-to is I write these slow, you know, kind of worshipful songs, and then I'll go, I need to speed this up a little bit. So it turns into kind of a fun, fast pop song. I co-wrote the song Love You More, and that started off as a very slow song. And then it was only when I brought it into the studio and I said, I think I'm hearing this as a fast song. And now if you listen to it, it is like a fun, fast radio kind of pop song. My process is just to get something down on paper. You kind of have to not worry about how silly it's going to be or, you know, if it doesn't really sound that good. And then you slowly work at it bit by bit, you know, the lyrics, the melody, the chords. Once you get the studio band in, you continue that process. You're just building and building, building the song.
Do you keep your early drafts as you go along, or do you just put them all in a slush pile that you never look at again, or what do you do with that, some of those early things that you've put together?
Yeah, I have them. I have a black book that I basically do all my writing in, but a lot of them, you know, scratched out pages here and there, and I'll rewrite it on another page. So, but I definitely could look back and see the early writing of a lot of my songs, or they're in my journals, because sometimes, you know, if I'm, you know, having my devotions and I'm journaling and, you know, all of a sudden I think of a song. That's pretty rare for me. I usually need to be pretty intentional. I'm going to song right now. But once in a while I'll be like, oh, wait, you know, I wrote something down in my journal. That might make a great song. And so I'll write the initial, you know, the beginnings of that song in my journal. I could track them down and probably have a good laugh at them.
Does that ever help you to go sort of review how you've crafted something to kind of direct you as you're going on later on?
Yeah, I guess it would. But each song is kind of different. Each song has, you know, a life of its own. Some songs are written really quickly and some songs are written over, you know, a few months. You kind of come back to it. But definitely, you know, as I'm growing as an artist and as a songwriter, I definitely can look back at my original songs and learn from them. You're constantly, mm-hmm. constantly learning from them, for sure.
Great. Well, let's take one final break, and when we come back, we're going to finish up our conversation with Dana Marie. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Emmanuel from the What You See CD by Dana Marie Storrs. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to finish our conversation with Dana Marie. Now, Dana Marie, the CD was released in mid-December. What's been the reaction to it so far?
Oh, pretty good. I mean, the songs, you release kind of one song at a time. So it's not like I've released all the songs to radio and they're all getting you know, lots of play. That's not how it works. The song Guardian has been getting some good reception and being played on radio across Canada. You know, I'm trying to make connections with a few different radio stations in the States. They've played some songs from my previous album. So it really all is about building those relationships. But I'm going to be playing at a few key youth events in the new year, one called Snow Camp, which happens in the Muskokas in February, another one called Pitch and Praise, which is in Paris, Ontario. And those are pretty big youth events. But I'm currently, yeah, just working hard, trying to create some bookings for the new year. I'm thinking about doing a tour out east and out west just to promote the album. But I am my own manager and my own booking agent. So, yeah, that comes with, again, a lot of time on the computer and emails and phone calls and trying to build those relationships and get that going. But so far, the reception's been pretty good. So,
what are fans saying about it at all?
A lot of them have, they're excited because they can definitely tell I, you know, stepped it up, they say. Stepped it up a notch. Yeah, this album, for me, it's a little more fun, you know, more kind of fun pop radio songs. I really love the producer I worked with, Andrew Horrocks, here in Kitchener. He did a really great job putting these songs together. So, yeah, they're songs that you can, you know, pop it in your car when you're driving somewhere, and it's just a fun album for sure.
Well, where can people find out more information about you and about your CD?
The easiest place is danamariemusic.com. It has information and kind of where I'm going to be, and you can contact me through my website and say hello. If you're in Kitchener-Waterloo area, I have CDs at the Gospel Lighthouse in Waterloo and at Augsburg Fortress in Kitchener. That would be the easiest place.
Great. Well, Dana Marie, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection tonight, and thank you to my guest, Dana Marie Storrs. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at www.salaministries.ca. That's www.salawministries.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, a production of Salav Ministries, email robert@salaministries.ca or follow us on Twitter @Salav13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.